honor your spouse and children? The way you treat your family can have an effect on your spiritual growth. Find out more on today's Believer's Voice of Victory with Jeremy Pearsons and guest John Bevere.
Hello, everybody. Welcome again to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Jeremy Pearsons, in all this week for my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, who are traveling and ministering. We believe that the Lord is doing great things where they are in the world today. And we are honored once again to sit at the table with author and speaker and preacher and husband of Lisa Bevere. John
That's right.
Bevere is with us today. And I want to encourage you in something, John. I believe that if you keep at this, man, and you keep working, you keep studying, that you too will be able to speak like Lisa one day. I mean, I'm kidding you. I'm teasing you, but man,
I love it.
You know this, though.
I was sharing with you last night.
I was just meeting full of leaders
earlier this year, and she was in Thailand, and I introduced myself. I said, I'm Lisa Bevere's husband. And the whole room just started cracking up. Yeah.
And I think it's because people know. I mean, I know when I first heard Lisa, I was like, man, this is God speaking, and I was receiving it, and I was laughing. She's hysterical.
She is hysterical.
And, you know, I bring that up today, and we're laughing about it, and I've told you this before, but I bring that up today because of where we've been so far in discussing this week. And if you've not been a part of any of these broadcasts, do yourself a favor. Log on to KCM.org. Go download where we've been so far in discussing Honor's Reward. This is John's new book. It's the direction that his ministry is going right now. And I've heard him talk some about this in talking together. And I've read this book. You need to get a hold of this. You need to find out really the backstory, because, John, you took a long time in the book, the first four chapters,
right,
to lay some real groundwork, some foundation that we had to have. You know, you got to understand that God is a rewarder.
Well, I had to show it was a law.
Yeah.
It's not just like a good idea.
Yeah.
It's a law. God says, those who honor me, I will honor them. Those who lightly esteem me, I will lightly esteem them. And I show how we do it in the first four chapters and how people do it all the time and not realizing that they're dishonoring God.
Yeah. And when you begin to see that, you think, you start to look back across time, recent history, long history in your own life, and you think, I wonder, when I was so discouraged that this prayer wasn't answered, so I thought, or I was not walking in the blessing like I knew I could, you look back at where you were and choices you were making along the way where honor was concerned. You look back at attitudes you held, words you spoke. And I know it, when you read this, it'll do to you what it's done to me. And you just say, Lord, forgive me, correct it, and move on, you know?
Right.
And we...
That's the beauty of repentance.
Yeah, we've established some of the things that you were saying and the need for this in churches, the all-out demand for this in our where we work, in business. And we began yesterday in getting into our families. And you spoke so beautifully about the role of children in a home to respect and honor their parents. This is the word, man. I mean, this is the word of God saying this is right. Children, obey your parents, for it is right.
Right.
And you start to see the way the Lord feels about it. He does not take lightly the relationship between a parent and a child. He does not take lightly the relationship between how children relate to parents, how parents relate to children, how a husband and wife relate to each other. You made a statement in the book, and I marked this when I read it. You were talking about the way, and this goes to what I brought up at the beginning of the program, Lisa, and this awesome woman of God that you are so blessed to have in your life.
I know.
You make this statement in talking about your relationship with her. You say, I made a point of constantly telling her she was beautiful and looked great in her outfits. Now, you go into so much more here, and I've heard your testimony in this, and I've also heard Lisa and what she said about how that affected her. But the part I highlighted was, I made a point of. And there's something that's resounding to me in this, and that is, we've got to make the decision to do this.
Yes.
Now, where do you want to go with this today? Because we could go in a couple of different directions here. We could talk about husbands and their wives. You've got to make the point to do it. We could talk about parents honoring children. And I'd love it if we can get both of those in. Great.
We'll try.
If not, I want to hear how you believe. Lisa made a statement to me last night. She said that parents exist for their children.
Right.
And I think sometimes we get into this way of thinking that, hey, you as my child, you exist for me to serve me. And the Word's got so much to say about it. Talk to me a little bit about what you see as the role of a parent to a child?
Well, Lisa and I, when we were raising our children, I mean, you can honestly, you know, this message changed my life. I mean, when God showed me how you do it to the least of these my brethren, Jesus said, you've done it to me. Mm-hmm. And he said, what you've done to me, you've done to the Father. And the Father said, I'll do to you. And when Jesus said, whoever gives one of these little ones a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, he will by no means lose his reward. Well, I look at the way God is a father, and he so loves, values his children. How much more should we be as natural parents? Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible says that we're to discipline our children. Mm-hmm. We're very strong believers in that. But I look at our four boys today, and they all love God with all their heart. Two of them work for our ministry. My oldest son, let's just talk about that. I mean, our children, all the time they were being raised or growing up, Lisa and I would look at them and say, we are raising you to go farther than we've gone. Mm-hmm. We are raising you as royalty. We would tell them that they were ambassadors, you know, and on. We would say they were great disciples taught of the Lord. You're macho men. Boys that started working out. I said, man, you guys are so big. And I'll go up to them. I'll say, I love being between my two sons because they make me look like a stick, you know, and I feel like they're too big. And I'm always just doing this. I said, oh, guys, I love your hair and this. There were times I was going, well, you know,
okay,
but you know what? I've learned that the more I did that, the more I changed. I really enjoy my boys. You know, I have young people come up to me all the time and they say, man, you dress so cool, you know? And they think, these kids think I'm like 42, 41 years old, and really I'm 49. And I say, and I laugh because I started listening to my boys. I honored my boys by listening to them and dressing in a way that I thought, that they thought that I was reaching out to their generation. But one example would be my oldest son, Addison. Our oldest son, Addison, graduated magna cum laude, high honors from his high school, and he was accepted at the 7th best business university in America. And, you know, he called me 1 month. He was working summertime job for our ministry. We had, at that time, about 50 employees. And he called me and he said, Dad, I don't want to go to university. I said, what?
Yeah.
He said, I really don't want to go. I want to help you and Mom get this message out. Can I work for you full time? What am I supposed to say to that? I just said, okay, yeah, you can work for us. And I determined as long as I see personal growth in him, I got no problems with it. Mm. So I went to our director of staff and I said, he is to get no privilege that anybody else doesn't get just because he's Bevere. And so my director of staff was very strong with that. So he works for us for 6 months. And 6 months later, the director of staff comes back to me and he says, Can I make him manager over our church relations department? I said, okay. I said, are you sure? He said, yeah, your son. I want to make him the manager. Now, let me tell you about this department. This department at that time had two employees working in it. And what we did is each one of our books, almost all of them, have a curriculum that go with it. We do a 12, 30-minute videotapes of, and I walk through the book chapter by chapter, and then we have devotional and workbooks that go into those curriculums. And we had about probably 2,000-3,000 churches that were using those curriculums, and they're made for individuals and families, but the churches were using. Well, those two guys, what they did is they called those churches, and I told them, I said, your job is to love on those pastors, minister to those pastors, and resource them, you know, get more curriculums into their hands. Well, when Addison started working for that department, there was two guys. He came in as number three. And in 2 years of working for that department, he quadrupled it. Okay, now we have, I think it's 7 people in that department.
Wow.
And we have over 15,000 churches in America using our curriculums.
Wow.
Not only that, he inspired Australia staff, and they have over 1,800 churches in Australia using our video curriculums from our books. And to just give you an example, and I know this is probably a wrong way of sharing it, and I hope nobody takes this wrong, but, you know, The sales for the entire year, wholesale sales for them to those churches were $440,000 the year before he took that department. This year alone, in the first 2 months, we did that. 2 months, we did $400,000 of sales in the first 2 months of this year. And now all these churches are being benefited.
Yeah.
All these churches are testifying. Because why? We honored our son, and now look. You know, 13,000 more churches are now getting these messages as 2,000 compared to 15,000 because we honored our son and look at the reward that's coming back to us.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. I will travel all over America. pastors will come running up to me saying, your son is the most amazing young man. I was going through this situation. He got on the phone. He counseled me properly. He prayed with me. We came out of this. And I'm just sitting here going, this is my son, my 21-year-old son. Yeah. You know, and so that's one example of when parents will honor their children, treat them as valuable, give them respect. You got to correct them. Don't get me wrong. The Bible says it. Give them respect. What the reward that will come back. And we've seen this now with our second-born son. We've seen it with our third-born son. We've seen it with our fourth-born son. And just honoring them. The same thing with wives.
Yeah.
The Bible says, and I'd like to read this scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2. I mean, this is absolutely amazing. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Now, weaker vessel doesn't mean that she's beneath the husband.
Sure.
It just means she can't bench press as much as him. That's all it means. It's talking about physical strength of an average woman is less than that of an average man, and that's the vessel. As being heirs together of the grace of life. Now listen to this, because God says we're heirs together, that your prayers may not be hindered. So heaven will not even listen to a man's prayers that is dishonoring his wife.
Wow.
So when I was married to Lisa, and I think Lisa shared this on her program, Lisa had retinoblastoma. At the age of 5 years, they removed her eye. That's cancer of the retina. They removed her eye, and she wore a prosthesis all through, you know, grade school, junior high, and high school. So the kids used to look at Lisa, and they'd make fun of her, and they call her Cyclops. They call her One Eye. So there was a required course in her high school of public speaking. She went to the guidance counselor and said, I should not have to take this course. They have made fun of me. They've called me Cyclops. She was full of fear. And the guidance counselor said, absolutely, you don't have to take public speaking. She said, there's another required course I shouldn't have to take, and that's typing, because of spatial awareness and looking like this. And so she got exempt from both those classes. So when I met Lisa, she was full of fear, and I had the privilege of leading her to the Lord on our first date. It was really kind of funny. I never thought I would have done that, but I hadn't been out with a girl for a year and a half, and the Lord put it in my heart to ask Lisa out. And our first date, she got married, that would have been good. She got saved, and then we were married a year and 3 months later. Well, we attended a very large church after we first got married, and the women all thought that Lisa was very stuck up, because Lisa's a very, very pretty girl. Well, she wasn't stuck up. She was full of fear. Isn't it interesting how sometimes people discern inaccurately?
Yeah.
And so I remember we were married, and I just kept building her. I just kept honoring her. And I'd say, oh, you're so beautiful. And I made it a point, like I said. And I would tell her, I'd say, Lisa, you've got abilities that I see in you. They're so great. And I remember she started working for a direct marketing makeup company. And she would have to meet with clients. And I would literally have to take her by the hands, go to the meeting with her in order for her to have the nerve to speak to a stranger. So we were walking through the Galleria Mall. Now, this is back in the early 80s, right when they built the Galleria in Dallas, Texas. And it was the Mall of America. I mean, it was it at that time. And I said, you need to apply one of these department stores and be a makeup artist. You're better than any of those ladies. And she said, you're nuts. I'm not talking to strange women about makeup. So every time she walked into the Galleria, she kept hearing my voice.
Yeah.
And so finally she thought, I'll prove them wrong. I'll go apply and they'll turn me down. So she applies and they give her the job. And they give her the Elizabeth Arden makeup counter. Okay. And the previous girl that sold at that counter could barely sell anything. Lisa sold the entire counter in 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Wow.
So then what happened was a briefcase slams down a couple days later. It's one of the big boys in the company. He says, you're not staying here. Well, within 2 weeks, she was over 18 stores in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, plus two other states, Albuquerque, and I think the other one was Tulsa, or Oklahoma City, one of the two. And then 2 years later, they put her over eight states, gave her a huge salary, much bigger than mine, and she's got a brand new company car to drive, a Ford Thunderbird. Well, guess who's driving the car?
Right.
Honors reward, right?
Right.
So anyway, then I became youth pastor, and I remember, you know, I'd listen to my wife share the word around the house, and I think, golly, there's some amazing revelations that God is giving her. So one youth service, I stood up in front of everybody, and I didn't even warn Lisa. I said, you know what? Next week, I'm not going to speak to you guys. Lisa is. Well, you can't believe the resistance in the house that week. What are you doing? Me speaking in front of teenagers on top of that.
Right.
You know, as a baby, there's so much in you. You're going to do great. So anyway, she gets up and the next week and just hits it out of the park. I mean, whoa, how great it was. You know, the kids loved it. So I did that a few times. And then we started traveling. And I remember I would be doing conferences, and I'd be like a Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night conference. And I go, you know what? On Friday night, this one particular conference, I said, I'm not going to speak tomorrow morning at 9. My wife is. And she's sitting on the front row going, oh, no, no, no. And I remember that night, she kept me up till 3 o'clock in the morning. She was so upset with me, Jeremy. She said, I can't believe you are having me do this. They are here to hear you speak, not me speak. I said, baby, you know what? Finally, this is what I said to her. I said, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You're speaking at 9. You might want to get some sleep. And so she gets up and knocks it out of the park. And now I look at Lisa today. And here she is. Last year, she spoke to 18,000 women at the Hillsong Color Conference down in Sydney. She spoke to 5,000 women in London at the Prince Royal Albert Hall. She spoke to 3,000 women in Kiev last year. She speaks anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000 women almost every single weekend. Wow. We estimated that she spoke face-to-face to 75,000 women last year. She speaks at Joyce Meyer's conference this year I think over 20,000 women. So what does she do? She speaks publicly to thousands of women when that was the very thing she opted out of. Now, of course, my wife faced her fears, but it helped having a husband who honored her. What's the other thing she does? She types books. Mm-hmm. The two classes she got out of because a husband honored her. Now look at what is the reward I'm getting? People all over the world, you know what they say? Your wife's so good, you got to have something to say, so we'd like you to come speak for us.
I get to be
Lisa Bevere's husband
now.
But anyway, it's just amazing to see what God does when you honor your wife, you honor your children. And, you know, if more men would do this, treat their wives as valuable. I mean, she's valuable to you when you're courting her, when you're dating her, when your first year of marriage. But, you know, I have noticed that the treasure of my wife gets more valuable to me every single year we're married. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. You may think I'm exaggerating, and my wife today is more beautiful than the day I married her. And I'm going to tell you, I can show you pictures of when we got married, and my staff will look at her and say, Lisa, your pictures back then, it looks like you're a younger, better-looking body than back then. And she has said to me, she said, John, it's because of the way you've spoken to me, the way you've honored me and valued me. And if we do that with our kids, we do that with our wives, what would happen in our homes? And are there times that I've not wanted to speak honorably to my wife because I was angry at her? Oh, yeah, you better believe it.
Right.
Have we had times when we've had, you know, arguments or intense fellowships? Yeah, I'd be a liar if I said no. But the thing is, Lisa and I have learned that our relationship is more valuable. We are more valuable. We're both Italian. I mean, come on. We're going to be intense. We're Mediterranean. But we've never attacked each other. We learned very early in our marriage not to attack each other. We attack the problems when we have the intense fellowships. Our arguments were much, much more rare nowadays. But, you know, once in a while it happens. But we always look at each other like, how can I do this? I value. So they become less and less and less and less. And our children, you know, it's like I said, I don't know if I said this today's program. I think I did. But, you know, having sons who look at me and say, Dad, you're my hero.
Yeah.
Dad, you know, I want to help you get the message out.
Yeah.
It just, you just sit there and shake your head and go, it's amazing.
Or husband or wife would not want that.
Right.
And I want to come back to where we began with this, John, because I believe that this is the key to it. You said, I made a point.
Made a point.
And I feel like sometimes we get into this autopilot mode. And even in the year at this point that I've been married to Sarah, I mean, this wonderful woman of God, I know that leading up to the time I met her, fell in love with her, the Lord had me digging through Scripture, and I was making these little cards every time I could find something that had to do with being a husband or how you're supposed to treat your wife. I made a decision. This is how it's going to be. I came across Exodus 19:5, where God said to his people, you will be my special treasure. And he talked about valuing them above all people. And I looked at that and I said, oh, I know that's not a husband scripture necessarily, but I'm going to take that and that's going to be my view of her. She's going to be my special treasure above all people. And I read later in another book, actually shortly after I saw that, that found out that that is included in traditional Jewish wedding ceremonies, that a groom says that because they believe that that was God marrying himself to his people. You'll be my special treasure. And here I am at the beginning of this marriage, and I'm, man, this is so big in me. And I'm sitting with Sarah. That's actually how I proposed to her. I had all this whole thing planned out, but it didn't happen because sitting there, we were in the bottom floor of her home. I got down on my knees in front of her, and I took her through the scriptures where in 1 Peter, where I said, this is how I'm going to honor you. I'm not going to deal harshly with you. When I see this scripture, you're the one I think of. And this was coming out of me in such a huge way. And we've been married a year at this point, and it has been a glorious year. But you know what? I have got to continue to make a point of this.
Right.
And we've even had discussions where I'm thinking, baby, you don't know I feel that way. I mean, I think that. What you're saying, I think that all the time. What I'm recognizing is I've got to make it a point.
Yes.
And but there's so many people in different situations that aren't living a glorious year of marriage.
Well, you know, I mean, that's been going through my mind, too. I know we get so many people will write to us and say, but my husband doesn't treat me honorably.
Yeah.
My wife doesn't treat me honorably. I've had men come up to me and say, but she speaks down to me. She makes me, belittles me. And the thing I say to them is, well, did not God honor you and value you when you were not saved, when you were still his enemy?
Yeah.
As did God honor you even after you became saved and you maybe messed up once or twice in a day? Did God still honor you? And they go, wow. And I think the thing we've got to realize is we don't honor to get honored. Mm-hmm. I tell this, I was doing a men's meeting one time and I was sharing on honor. And I said, if you go home and you look at your wife and children and say, you need to honor me, you missed the whole point of this message. This message, God put it into me to show people how important it is for us to honor, even if we're not being honored. And maybe we can even talk more about that tomorrow when we come on the program. But it's so important. I mean, if this is restored in the home, our homes will be so healthy.
Wow, praise God. We are out of time again for this broadcast, but stick around. Don't go anywhere. John and I will be back in just a moment.
Honor's Reward, the newest book from best-selling author John Bevere, underscores one reality. Understand the spiritual law of honor and practice it, and you will attract blessing.
God gives us a spiritual law in 1 Samuel 2:30. Those who honor me, I will honor them. Those who lightly esteem me, I'll lightly esteem them.
In Honor's Reward, John Bevere takes you deep into the Word and demonstrates how you value, respect, and treat others will determine your reward.
In the Gospels, you'll see it all over. People that honored Jesus greatly got a full reward. People that withheld honor got a small partial reward. Those who dishonored him got nothing.
In this passionate new book, Bevere takes on popular culture's resistance to give honor where it is due and provides every believer with the scriptural foundation for obedience.
So how do we honor God? Jesus said, you've done it to the least of these, my brethren. You've done it to me. What you've done to him, you've done to the Father. And the Father says, I'll do to you.
To order your copy of John Bevere's book, Honor's Reward, log on to kcm.org and order online. This book will revolutionize the way you live and is now available for just $18. To request your copy by phone, you may call us at 800-575-4455. You may also write to us at Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Make sure and order your copy of Honor's Reward by John Bevere today.
In John Bevere's new book, Honor's Reward, you're going to find that honor above all else is an issue of the heart. It's got to come from the heart. And we can get caught up in trying this. We can get caught up in working at this. But be at rest and let the Lord do something in your heart and let this honor, walking in honor towards him and others, let it come out of your heart. That's when it begins to unlock promotion. That's when it begins to unlock favor and success in your life. And who doesn't want that? I mean, who's not longing for that? John, I want you to talk again just for a moment about where this is coming from and what you are wanting people to see as a result of this honor out of the heart.
Well, you know, the greatest temptation for people is going to be to go out and treat everybody nice. and that's going to last about a week.
Yeah.
Honor originates from the heart. This is something that we've got to get into our heart by praying and by getting the Word of God in us. And that's why I really believe God commissioned me to write the book, is to get this into people's spirits so that they begin to live this as a way of life. Mm-hmm. You make a point of it, but if it's not in your heart, you can make points of something and then you quickly forget it 3 hours later.
Right.
But when it's in your heart, you will live it. You literally live it, and that's what's going to happen. That's what I'm excited about.
You can't get talked out of it. You can't
right.
be distracted from it. It's so good. We want you to use this book as a study along with your Bible. Use these broadcasts along with your Bible. When we refer to Scripture, you get it out. You dig in it. You look at it. You find it in the Word of God. Get on kcm.org. Make that one of your favorite sites and go there often. And it does not matter where in the world you are. You can get what we're talking about, what we're dealing with from all corners of the globe. Get on there, download it. And if you've got an MP3 player or whatever device you have that you can use, get this in your ears, keep this in your eyes, take it on walks, do whatever you've got to do to get this down in you. And speaking of our internet broadcast, it's not just this BVOV broadcast. Our next meeting with Kenneth Copeland Ministries, Washington, D.C., November 13th through the 15th at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. Now, you can get there and be there in person, which is great. And if you can't, get online, watch and listen to these live broadcasts. They're going to change your life. We will see you again tomorrow. So this is Jeremy Pearson's and John Bevere reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or to order a copy of today's broadcast, log on to our website at kcm.org or call us toll-free 800-575-4455. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you with teaching tools, prayer, and other ministry resources to help you live in faith and victory every day. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure.
God's got parts. He can give you a new heart or new kidneys or new anything else. This is the day of miracles and healing.
I'm moved by what I believe, and I believe what God has said. If we believe on Him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our righteousness. Hallelujah.
2008 has been an exciting season of meetings, but it's not over yet. Jump into the deeper things of God at the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland November 13th through the 15th at Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. Jump into the fullness of the blessing and walk out all God has for you. To find out more, visit kcm.org or call 1-800-600-7395.
Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
I hope by now it's coming into clear view. To honor is to genuinely love. To walk in the commandment of love.